In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And three times the devil tempts him. Three times the Lord Jesus quotes the written word of God, "And you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus, the second Adam, defeats the devil. That is what this text is all about, as we are now in the 40 days of Lent, echoing the 40 days of Jesus in the wilderness when he fasted. Jesus is being tempted by the devil. The second Adam has been baptized, his ministry has been inaugurated, and the first order of business is to put Satan in his place. What is really going on as Christians all around the world on the first Sunday of Lent are looking at this same text is this. Back in Genesis, which was the Old Testament lesson today, because Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, sin came into the world, and they who used to walk in the cool of the garden with the Lord God now will be driven out. They could not walk with God in the garden. They could not eat from the tree of life, and the angels drove them away. Now that Jesus has come through the tree of the cross, which is the focus of Holy Week and Lent, his incarnation, his death, and his resurrection. Through the tree of the cross, we are now brought back into the garden, as we see in the book of Revelation, the place of paradise, the garden, where we can eat from the tree of life, we walk with God again. The angels welcome us back in. So from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, through the tree of the cross, back to the tree of life. This is what's happening in this text for us today. So let's consider three aspects of this for us this morning. The first Adam was defeated by the three temptations of Satan. The second Adam, Jesus, himself defeated the three temptations of Satan as true man. And connected to Christ Jesus, we as his body in baptism have power to defeat the temptations of Satan, which he throws at us. There is good news. In Christ, we can face the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. And in Christ Jesus, we can overcome them. So let's, first of all, consider Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man and the first Adam. You could summarize what you heard this morning with three temptations, three responses, three results, and three curses. Three temptations. The devil speaking through the serpent says, "Did God really say, don't eat from that tree of knowledge of good and evil?" Doubt of God's word. Second temptation. "You will not surely die." He lies. He's the father of lies. Third temptation. God doesn't want you to be like him. Envy. Temptation to try to be like God. From the three temptations come three responses. The fruit looks good. Delightful to make one wise. Ignoring God's word, drawn in to the food. The second response, take, eat, share it with one another. Not only will I sin, but I'm going to share it with my spouse. And the third response, their eyes are opened. They feel shame. They know they are naked. They hide themselves with loincloths. Three temptations, three responses, three results. The first result, now the man and the woman are hiding from God. The second result, they're even afraid of the sound of the Lord walking in the garden, and here they are hiding behind the trees. And the third result, the passing of the buck. The man blames his wife. The wife blames the devil. And then, worst of all, come the three curses. The serpent is cursed to crawl on his belly. The woman will now have pain in childbirth, and that beautiful relationship of husband and wife, now she'll see him as ruling over her. And the man, by the sweat of his brow, he will get his daily bread. He'll try to till the field, and there will be thorns and thistles, and then the ultimate curse. From dust you are, and to dust you shall return. We die, and they bury us in the dirt. This was what happened in the garden with the first Adam. However, God always speaks also in promise and in gospel. In this same text in Genesis chapter 3, we have the very first promise of the gospel, of the second Adam, Christ, who would come. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The first promise of the Savior is given here. Jesus would be of the seed of the woman, the true man, of representing all of mankind. And the seed of the devil, his demons, will be at war with mankind throughout history, even to this very day. But that seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent, but in so doing, he will be bruised. He will be pierced. So through Jesus' piercing in hands and feet and side, by dying, he defeated death. By being pierced, he crushed the head of the serpent, but it cost him his life, because he was going to be the second Adam who came to undo the curse. There is also gospel at the end of this text. When the Lord sacrifices an animal and provides garments to clothe both Adam and Eve, giving us a picture of how God clothes us in the righteousness of his Son, Christ Jesus. But that's what happened with the first Adam. Secondly, let's look at the second Adam, the text in Matthew chapter 4. The second Adam is going to defeat the exact same temptations that were thrown at Adam in the garden. It's amazing how these temptations match almost perfectly what he did in the garden. The second Adam now, who is hungry in the wilderness, who is now taking the place of all of mankind, has to face also three temptations. The first temptation: if you are the Son of God, tell the stones to become bread. Here, again, we've got food, hunger. He's saying, doubt God's word. Don't believe that he can provide for you. Take things into your own hands, Jesus. The second temptation: he takes him to the pinnacle of the temple and says, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. Didn't he say the angels will watch over you? You're not going to die. Here, he's telling him a lie. He's telling him to tempt God and do something foolish. The devil, by the way, conveniently forgot the verse after that that we chanted in the Psalm 91, that he would tread on the serpent. He would trample the serpent, which was describing exactly what Jesus was doing to the devil. The third temptation takes him to a high mountain and says, I'll give you all this if you will bow down to worship me. Don't you want to be like God? Envy, tempting to be like God. But the difference is that the second Adam defeated these temptations, unlike the first Adam. And it is significant that even though Jesus is God in human flesh, he relies on the written word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to defeat the devil. That is significant. Quoting from Deuteronomy, to the first temptation, Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. To the second temptation, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And to the third temptation, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus defeated the devil and said, be gone, leave, Satan. And because he was hungry, the Lord sent angels to minister to him. We have three blessings from Jesus. Jesus has overcome our greatest enemies. Jesus overcame our sinful flesh, a desire for just the stomach or for food. Jesus defeated the world who wants to put on a great show. Let's see a great show, Jesus, on top of the temple. And Jesus defeated the devil. Satan, be gone. We will worship God alone. Be gone, Satan. Jesus, who has defeated the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, then our third aspect of our text is from Romans chapter 5, wants you to know this. Because you've been connected by your baptism to Jesus, the second Adam, you have a power, because of who you are in Christ, to overcome the temptations you will face. The threefold effect of the work of Christ for us, because we are connected to Him in our baptism, was described by Paul. First, because the one man died for all, we have this free gift of grace, justification by grace, being declared righteous, being without blemish in God's sight, because Christ is your righteousness. Christ is your justification. Christ, His obedience and His death and His holiness, is credited to your account, the free gift of grace. The second gift, one man's righteousness has brought life. And thirdly, one man's obedience done in our place has brought for us holiness and righteousness. This one man actively kept the law for us and then passively allowed himself to be crucified for us. Now, do you know what the significance of this means for you in your baptism? As Paul describes the battle between the old Adam and the new man, through Christ you have a whole different perspective of facing temptation. This is what we tend to do. We face a temptation from the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, and this is how we respond. I know I shouldn't do it. I'd really like to, but I know I'm not supposed to. Or, I really want to do it, but I know it's against God's will, so I guess I won't do it. You will never overcome temptation that way. The devil's way smarter than we are. He'll weasel his way in, and you will end up falling and condoning some sin that you fell into. This is how a Christian handles temptation as new man in Christ. Because I am clothed in Christ's righteousness, because I have the Holy Spirit, this is who I am. If I look at temptation square in the face, say to take God's name in vain, it's not a matter of I better not do it or I shouldn't do it. I don't want to do it because that's not who I am. I honor Jesus when I speak His name. Of course I will not take His name in vain. That's His precious name. And if you go right down all of the commandments, when we understand who we are in Christ, because of who we are in Christ, it's, I don't want to do that. That is not my heart, because I am new man in Christ. And then you will understand, in Jesus, you can overcome temptations, not in your own strength. Knowing the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, singing it, chanting it like we do in the divine service, you have the Word of God in you. It's the sword of the Spirit. You can do battle against temptations. That's what Paul meant when he says, the old Adam, sin in the world, death reigns in mankind. The law condemns. The transgression of Adam has brought judgment and condemnation. And the new man brings the grace of Christ, life, the obedience of the second Adam credited to us, and salvation declared that in Him we are without blemish. There is the strength. Who you are in Christ and to whom you belong is Jesus, the second Adam. Do you see then what Holy Week is all about and what the 40 days of Lent mean? Do you see what the second Adam has come to do to undo the curse of the first Adam so that we can be sons of God and walk with Jesus in the cool of the day and be welcomed back into the garden of paradise? That's what Paul meant when he said, if many die through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. As by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, through the tree of the cross, to the tree of life, in Jesus, the second Adam, who has defeated Satan. God grant that the Lord Jesus Christ fill us with His Holy Spirit this day, and faith in Jesus, the second Adam. Amen. Now may the peace of God that transcends our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.